54.
Alendi will need guides through the Terrace Mountains. I have charged Rashik with making certain that he and his trusted friends are chosen as those guides.
Vin's staff broke as she slammed it across a Koloss face. Not again, she thought with frustration, spinning and ramming the broken shard into another creature's chest. She turned and came face to face with one of the big ones, a good 5 feet taller than she. It thrust its sword toward her. Vin jumped, and the sword collided with broken cobblestones beneath her. She shot upward, not needing any coins to carry herself upward to eye level with the creature's twisted face. They always looked surprised. Even after watching her fight dozens of their companions, they seemed shocked to see her dodge their blows. Their minds seemed to equate size with power. A larger Koloss always beat a smaller one. A 5-foot-tall human should have been no problem for a monster this big. Vin flared pewter as she smashed her fist into the beast's head. The skull cracked beneath her knuckles, and the beast fell backward as she dropped back to the ground. Yet as always, there was another to take its place. She was getting tired. No, she'd started the battle tired. She'd pewter-dragged, then used a convoluted personal spikeway to carry herself across an entire dominance. She was exhausted. Only the pewter in her last metal vial was keeping her upright. I should have asked Sazet for one of his empty pewter mines, she thought. Ferrochemical and alimentic metals were the same. She could have burned that, though it would probably have been a bracer or a bracelet, too large to swallow. She ducked to the side as another Koloss attacked. Coins didn't stop these things, and they all weighed too much for her to push them away without an anchor. Besides, her steel and iron reserves were extremely low. She killed Koloss after Koloss, buying time for Sazet and the people to get a good head start. Something was different this time, different from when she'd killed at Set's palace. She felt good. It wasn't just because she killed monsters. It was because she understood her purpose. And she agreed with it. She could fight, could kill, if it meant defending those who could not defend themselves. Kelsier might have been able to kill for shock or retribution, but that wasn't good enough for Vin. And she would never let it be again. That determination fueled her attacks against the Koloss. She used a stolen sword to cut off the legs of one, then threw the weapon at another, pushing on it to impale the Koloss in the chest. Then she pulled on the sword of a fallen soldier, yanking it into her hand. She ducked backward, but nearly stumbled as she stepped on another body. So tired, she thought. There were dozens, perhaps even hundreds, of corpses in the courtyard. In fact, a pile was forming beneath her. She climbed it, retreating slightly as the creatures surrounded her again. They crawled over the corpses of their fallen brethren, rage frothing in their blood-drop eyes. Human soldiers would have given up, going to seek easier fights. The Koloss, however, seemed to multiply as she fought them, others hearing the sounds of battle and coming to join in. She swiped, pewter aiding her strength as she cut off an arm from one Koloss, then a leg from another, before finally going for the head of a third. She ducked and dodged, jumping, staying out of their reach, killing as many as she could. But as desperate as her determination, as strong as her newfound resolve to defend, she knew that she couldn't keep fighting. Not like this. She was only one person. She couldn't save Luthadel. Not alone.
Lord Penrod, Sazed yelled, standing at the gates to keep hasting. You must listen to me.
There was no response. The soldiers at the top of the short keep wall were quiet, though Sazed could sense their discomfort. They didn't like ignoring him. In the distance, the battle still raged. Koloss screamed in the night. Soon they would find their way to Sazed and Ham's growing band of several thousand, who huddled now quietly outside Keep Hastings' gate. A haggard messenger approached Sazed. He was the same one that Doxin had been sending to Steelgate. He'd lost his horse somewhere, and they'd found him with a group of refugees in the Square of the Survivor.
Lord Terraceman, the messenger said quietly, I just got back from the command post. Keep Venture has fallen.
Lord Duxon? The man shook his head. We found a few wounded scribes hiding outside the keep. They saw him die. The Koloss are still in the building, breaking windows, rooting about.
Sazed turned back, looking over the city. So much smoke billowed in the sky that it seemed the mists had come already. He'd begun filling his scent tin mine to keep the stench away. The battle for the city might be over, but now the true tragedy would begin. The Koloss in the city had finished killing soldiers. Now they would slaughter the people. There were hundreds of thousands of them, and Sazed knew the creatures would gleefully extend the devastation. No looting, not when there was killing to be done. More screams sounded in the night. They'd lost, failed, and now the city would truly fall.
The mists can't be far away, he thought, trying to give himself some hope. Perhaps that will give us some cover.
Still, one image stood out to him. Clubs, dead in the snow. The wooden disc Sazed had given him earlier that same day, tied to a loop around his neck. It hadn't helped. Sazed turned back to keep hasting.
Lord Penrod, he said loudly. We are going to try and slip out of the city. I would welcome your troops and your leadership. If you stay here, the Koloss will attack this keep and kill you.
Silence. Sazed turned, sighing as Ham, arm still in a sling, joined them.
We have to go, Saz, Ham said quietly.
You're bloody, Terraceman.
Sazed turned. Fersen Penrod stood on top of his wall, looking down. He still looked immaculate in his nobleman's suit. He even wore a hat against the snow and ash. Sazed looked down at himself. He still wore only his loincloth. He hadn't had time to worry about clothing, particularly with his brass mind to keep him warm.
I've never seen a Terraceman fight, Penrod said. It is not a common occurrence, my lord, Sazed replied.
Penrod looked up, staring out over the city.
It's falling, Terraceman. That is why we must go, my lord, Sazed said.
Penrod shook his head. He still wore Ellen's thin crown.
This is my city, Terraceman. I will not abandon it. A noble gesture, my lord, Sazed said. But these with me are your people. Will you abandon them in their flight northward?
Penrod paused. Then he just shook his head again.
There will be no flight northward, Terraceman. Keep Hasting is among the tallest structures in the city. From it we can see what the Koloss are doing. They will not let you escape. They may turn to pillaging, Sazed said. Perhaps we can get by them and escape. No, Penrod said, his voice echoing hauntingly across the snowy streets. My tin eye claims the creatures have already attacked the people you sent to escape through the northern gate. Now the Koloss have turned this way. They're coming for us.
As cries began to echo through the distant streets, coming closer, Sazed knew that Penrod's words must be true.
Open your gates, Penrod, Sazed yelled. Let the refugees in. Save their lives for a few more pitiful moments. There is no room, Penrod said, and there is no time. We are doomed. You must let us in, Sazed screamed. It is odd, Penrod said, voice growing softer. By taking this throne from the Venture Boy, I saved his life, and I ended my own. I could not save the city, Terraceman. My only consolation is that I doubt Elend could have done so either.
He turned to go, walking down somewhere beyond the wall.
Penrod!
Sazed yelled. He did not reappear. The sun was setting, the mists were appearing, and the Koloss were coming. Vin cut down another Koloss, then jumped back, pushing herself off of a fallen sword. She shot away from the pack, breathing heavily, bleeding from a couple of minor cuts. Her arm was growing numb. One of the creatures had punched her there.
She could kill better than anyone she knew. However, she couldn't fight forever. She landed on a rooftop, then stumbled, falling to kneel in a pile of snow. The Koloss called and howled behind her, and she knew they would come, chasing her, hounding her. She'd killed hundreds of them, but what was a few hundred when compared with an army of over 20,000?
What did you expect? She thought to herself. Why keep fighting once you knew Sazed was free? Did you think to stop them all? Kill every Koloss in the army?
Once, she'd stopped Kelsier from rushing an army by himself. He had been a great man, but still just one person. He couldn't have stopped an entire army, no more than she could.
I have to find the well, she thought with determination, burning bronze, the thumpings, which she'd been ignoring during the battle, becoming loud to her ears.
And yet that left her with the same problem as before. She knew it was in the city now. She could feel the thumpings all around her, yet they were so powerful, so omnipresent, that she couldn't sense a direction from them. Besides, what proof did she have that finding the well would even help? If Sazed had lied about the location, had gone so far as to draw up a fake map, then what else had he lied about? The power might stop the mists, but what good would that do for Luthadel, burning and dying? She knelt in frustration, pounding the top of the roof with her fists. She had proven too weak. What good was it to return? What good was it to decide to protect if she couldn't do anything to help? She knelt for a few moments, breathing in gasps. Finally, she forced herself to her feet and jumped into the air, throwing down a coin. Her medals were nearly gone. She barely had enough steel to carry her through a few jumps. She ended up slowing near Credic Shaw, the Hill of 1,000 Spires. She caught one of the spikes at the top of the palace, spinning in the night, looking out over the darkening city. It was burning. Credic Shaw itself was silent, quiet, left alone by looters of both races. Yet all around her, Vin saw light in the darkness. The mists glowed with a haunting light.
It's like that day 2 years ago, she thought. The night of the Ska Rebellion.
Except on that day, the firelight had come from the torches of the rebels as they marched on the palace. This night, a revolution of a different type was occurring. She could hear it. She had her tin burning and she forced herself to flare it, opening her ears. She heard the screams, the death. The Koloss hadn't finished their killing work by destroying the army. Not by far. They had only just begun.
The Koloss are killing them all, she thought, shivering as the fires burned before her. Ellen's people, the ones he left behind because of me. They're dying. I am his knife, their knife. Kelsier trusted me with them. I should be able to do something.
She dropped toward the ground, skidding off an angled rooftop, landing in the palace courtyard. Mists gathered around her. The air was thick, and not just with ash and snow. She could smell death in its breezes, hear screams in its whispers. Her pewter ran out. She slumped to the ground, a wave of exhaustion hitting her so hard that everything else seemed inconsequential. She suddenly knew she shouldn't have relied on the pewter so much, shouldn't have pushed herself so hard. But it had seemed like the only way. She felt herself begin to slip into unconsciousness. But people were screaming. She could hear them, had heard them before. Ellen's city, Ellen's people, dying. Her friends were out there somewhere, friends that Kelsier had trusted her to protect. She gritted her teeth, shoving aside the exhaustion for a moment longer, struggling up to her feet. She looked through the mists toward the phantom sounds of terrified people. She began to dash toward them. She couldn't jump, she was out of steel. She couldn't even run very fast, but as she forced her body to move, it responded better and better, fighting off the dull numbness that she'd earned from relying on pewter so long. She burst out of an alleyway, skidding in the snow, and found a small group of people running before a Koloss raiding party. There were six of the beasts, small ones but still dangerous. even as Vin watched one of the creatures cut down an elderly man, slicing him nearly in two. Another picked up a small girl, slamming her against the side of a building. Vin dashed forward, past the fleeing Ska, whipping out her daggers. She still felt exhausted, but adrenaline helped her somewhat. She had to keep moving, keep going. To stop was to die. Several of the beasts turned toward her, eager to fight. One swung for her, and Vin let herself slide in the slush, slipping closer to him, before cutting the back of his leg. He howled in pain as her knife got caught in his baggy skin. She managed to yank it free as a second creature swung.
"I feel so slow," she thought with frustration,
barely sliding to her feet before backing away from the creature's reach. His sword sprayed chill water across her, and she jumped forward, planting a dagger in the creature's eye. Suddenly thankful for the times Hammond made her practice without Allomancy, she caught the side of a building to steady herself in the slush. Then she threw herself forward, shouldering the coloss with the wounded eye. He was clawing at the dagger and yelling, into his companions. The coloss with the young girl turned, shocked as Vin rammed her other dagger into his back. He didn't drop, but he did let go of the child.
"Lord Ruler, these things are tough," she thought,
cloak whipping as she grabbed the child and dashed away.
"Especially when you're not tough yourself. I need some more medals."
The girl in Vin's arms cringed as a coloss howl sounded, and Vin spun, flaring her chin to keep herself from falling unconscious from her fatigue. The creatures weren't following, however. They were arguing over a bit of clothing the dead man had been wearing. The howl sounded again, and this time Vin realized it had come from another direction. People began to scream again. Vin looked up, only to find those she'd just rescued facing down an even larger group of coloss.
"No!"
Vin said, raising a hand. But they'd run far while she'd been fighting. She wouldn't even have been able to see them, save for her tin. As it was, she was able to see painfully well as the creatures began to lay into the small group with their thick-bladed swords.
"No!"
Vin screamed again, the deaths startling her, shocking her, standing as a reminder of all the deaths she'd been unable to prevent.
"No, no, no!"
Pewter gone, steel gone, iron gone. She had nothing. Or she had one thing. Not even pausing to think on what prompted her to use it, she threw a Duralumin-enhanced soothing at the beasts. It was as if her mind had slammed into something, and then that something shattered. Vin skidded to a halt, shocked, child still in her arms as the coloss stopped, frozen in their horrific act of slaughter.
"What did I just do?" she thought,
tracing through her muddled mind, trying to connect why she had reacted as she had. Was it because she had been frustrated? No. She knew that the Lord Ruler had built the Inquisitors with a weakness. Remove a particular spike from their back and they'd die. He had also built the Chondra with a weakness. The coloss had to have a weakness, too.
"Tensun called the coloss his cousins," she thought.
She stood upright, the dark street suddenly quiet save for the whimpering Ska. The coloss waited, and she could feel herself in their minds, as if they were an extension of her own body, the same thing she had felt when she'd taken control of Tensun's body.
"Cousins, indeed."
The Lord Ruler had built the coloss with a weakness, the same weakness as the Chondra. He had given himself a way to keep them in check. And suddenly she understood how he'd controlled them all those long years. Sazed stood at the head of his large band of refugees, Snow and Ash, the two now indistinguishable in the misty darkness, falling around him. Ham sat to one side looking drowsy. He'd lost too much blood. A man without pewter would have died by now. Someone had given Sazed a cloak, but he had used it to wrap the comatose breeze. Even though he barely tapped his brass mind for warmth, Sazed himself wasn't cold. Maybe he was just getting too numb to care. He held two hands up before him, forming fists, 10 rings sparkling against the light of the group's single lantern. Coloss approached from the dark alleyways, their forms huddled shadows in the night. Sazed's soldiers backed away. There was little hope left in them. Sazed alone stood in the quiet snow, a spindly, bald scholar nearly naked. He, the one who had preached the religions of the fallen. He who had given up hope at the end. he who should have had the most faith of all. 10 rings. A few minutes of power. A few minutes of life. He waited as the Koloss gathered. The beasts grew strangely silent in the night. They stopped approaching. They stood still, a line of dark, mound-like silhouettes in the night.
"Why don't they attack?" Sazed thought, frustrated.
A child whimpered. Then the Koloss began to move again. Sazed tensed, but the creatures didn't walk forward. They split, and a quiet figure walked through the center of them.
"Lady Vin?" Sazed asked.
He still hadn't had a chance to speak with her since she'd saved him at the gate. She looked exhausted.
"Sazed," she said tiredly, "you lied to me about the Well of Ascension." "Yes, Lady Vin," he said. "That isn't important now," she said. "Why are you standing naked outside of the keep's walls?"
He looked up at the Koloss.
"Lady Vin, I..."
"Penrod!" Vin shouted suddenly. "Is that you up there?"
The king appeared. He looked as confused as Sazed felt.
"Open your gates!" Vin yelled.
"Are you mad?"
Penrod yelled back.
"I'm not sure," Vin said.
She turned, and a group of Koloss moved forward, walking quietly as if commanded. The largest one picked Vin up, holding her up high until she was nearly level with the top of the keep's low wall. Several guards atop the wall shied away from her.
"I'm tired, Penrod," Vin said.
Sazed had to tap his hearing tin mind to listen in on her words.
"We are all tired, child," Penrod said. "I'm particularly tired," Vin said. "I'm tired of the games. I'm tired of people dying because of arguments between their leaders. I'm tired of good men being taken advantage of."
Penrod nodded quietly.
"I want you to gather our remaining soldiers," Vin said, turning to look over the city. "How many do you have in there?"
"About 200, he said.
Vin nodded.
"The city is not lost. The Koloss have fought against the soldiers, but haven't had much time to turn on the population itself. I want you to send out your soldiers to find any groups of Koloss that are pillaging or killing. Protect the people, but don't attack the Koloss if you can help it. Send a messenger from me instead."
Remembering Penrod's bullheadedness earlier, Sazed thought the man might object. He didn't. He just nodded.
"What do we do then?"
Penrod asked.
"I'll take care of the Koloss," Vin said. "We'll go reclaim Keep Venture first. I'm going to need more medals, and there are plenty stored there. Once the city is secure, I want you and your soldiers to put out those fires. It shouldn't be too hard. There aren't a lot of buildings left that can burn."
"Very well," Penrod said, turning to call out his orders.
Sazed watched in silence as the massive Koloss lowered Vin to the ground. It stood quietly, as if it were a monster hewn of stone, and not a breathing, bleeding, living creature.
"Sazed," Vin said softly.
He could sense the fatigue in her voice.
"Lady Vin," Sazed said.
To the side, Ham finally shook himself out of his stupor, looking up in shock as he noticed Vin and the Koloss. Vin continued to look at Sazed, studying him. Sazed had trouble meeting her eyes. But she was right. They could talk about his betrayal later. There were other, more important tasks that had to be accomplished.
"I realize you probably have work for me to do," Sazed said, breaking the silence. "But might I instead be excused? There is a task I wish to perform." "Of course, Sazed," Vin said. "But first, tell me, do you know if any of the others survived?" "Clubs and Duxon are dead, my lady," Sazed said. "I have not seen their bodies, but the reports were from reliable sources. You can see that Lord Hammond is here with us, though he has suffered a very bad wound." "Breeze?" she asked.
Sazed nodded to the lump that lay huddled beside the wall.
He lives, thankfully. His mind, however, appears to be reacting poorly to the horrors he saw. It could simply be a form of shock. Or it could be something more lasting.
Finn nodded, turning to Ham.
Ham, I need pewter.
He nodded dully, pulling out a vial with his good hand. He tossed it to her. Vin downed it, and immediately her fatigue seemed to lessen. She stood up straighter, her eyes becoming more alert.
That can't be healthy, Sazed thought with worry. How much of that has she been burning?
Step more energetic, she turned to walk toward her Koloss.
Lady Vin?
Sazed asked, causing her to turn around.
There is still an army out there.
Oh, I know, Vin said, turning to take one of the large wedge-like Koloss swords from its owner. It was actually a few inches taller than she was.
I am well aware of Straff's intentions, she said, hefting the sword up onto her shoulder.
Then she turned to the snow and mist, walking toward Keep Venture, her strange Koloss guards tromping after her. It took Sazed well into the night to complete his self-appointed task. He found corpse after corpse in the frigid night, many of them iced over. The snow had stopped falling and the wind had picked up, hardening the slush to slick ice. He had to break some of the corpses free to turn them over and inspect their faces. Without his brass mind to provide heat, he could never have performed his grisly job. Even so, he had found himself some warmer clothing, a simple brown robe and a set of boots. He continued working through the night, the wind swirling flakes of snow and ice around him. He started at the gate, of course. That was where the most corpses were. However, he eventually had to move into alleyways and thoroughfares. He found her body sometime near morning. The city had stopped burning. The only light he had was his lantern, but it was enough to reveal the strip of fluttering cloth in a snowbank. At first, Sazed thought it was just another bloodied bandage that had failed in its purpose. Then he saw a glimmer of orange and yellow, and he moved closer. He no longer had the strength to rush, and reached into the snow. Tyndall's body cracked slightly as he rolled it out. The blood on her side was frozen, of course, and her eyes were iced open. Judging from the direction of her flight, she had been leading her soldiers to Keep Venture.
Oh, Tyndall,
he thought, reaching down to touch her face. It was still soft, but dreadfully cold. After years of being abused by the breeders, after surviving so much, she had found this. Death in a city where she hadn't belonged, with a man, no, a half-man, who did not deserve her. He released his brass mind and let the night's cold wash over him. He didn't want to feel warm at the moment. His lantern flickered uncertainly, illuminating the street, shadowing the icy corpse. There, in that frozen alleyway of Luthadel, looking down at the corpse of the woman he loved, Sazed realized something. He didn't know what to do. He tried to think of something proper to say, something proper to think. But suddenly all of his religious knowledge seemed hollow. What was the use in giving her a burial? What was the value in speaking the prayers of a long-dead god? What good was he? The religion of Dadrada hadn't helped clubs. The survivor hadn't come to rescue the thousands of soldiers who had died. What was the point? None of Sazed's knowledge gave him comfort. He accepted the religions he knew, believed in their value, but that didn't give him what he needed. They didn't assure him that Tyndall's spirit still lived. Instead, they made him question. If so many people believed so many different things, how could any one of them, or even anything at all, actually be true? The Ska called Sazed holy, but at that moment he realized that he was the most profane of men. He was a creature who knew 300 religions, yet had faith in none of them. So when his tears fell, and nearly began to freeze to his face. They gave him as little comfort as his religions. He moaned, leaning over the frozen corpse.
"My life," he thought, "has been a sham."